All right. Hello and welcome to another episode of Open Studio. I'm your host, Martina Flor, and today I'm thrilled to have Milanis joining me. Milan is not only a calligrapher, but also the founder and editor of Calligraphy Masters, a movement fueled by a deep passion for preserving and promoting the art of calligraphy. Alongside his impressive work, Milan manages a YouTube channel, hosts a podcast, and organizes worldwide exhibitions, all dedicated to showcasing the talents of calligraphy masters from across the globe. So, hi Milan, how are you doing today? Thank you for coming on the show.
Hi, Martina. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Milan, I'm super happy to have you on the podcast today because I am so impressed with what you have created with Calligraphy Masters. And we recently met in at one of Calligraphy Masters exhibitions in Berlin. And we were chatting about the work that goes into maintaining a movement like this, and I would definitely want to talk about this today on the show. But first, I want to start with you, Milan. Tell me, how did you get into calligraphy? What initially sparked your interest in this art form?
Like I already have the answer because so many people have asked me. I've said this story so many times, but yeah, sure, I'll tell you the story because. You know, before I answer, I want to say something. It's funny because on my podcast, like some months ago, I just uploaded a story asking who people want to have on the podcast. And at some point, like 10 or 15, 20 people wrote me, you should be on guest on your podcast. I'm like, what? How can I be guest on my podcast? So here, yeah, I'm not going to be guest on my own podcast, but finally I'm guest on a podcast where I guess I can share my whole story. But yeah, how everything started with calligraphy. To be honest, I've had love for letters throughout all my life. And throughout my life, I've been involved with letters in one or another form. And how I started calligraphy is basically when I was 23 years old, which is 11 years ago. I just moved to Copenhagen. Yeah. I was doing a logotype and logos, stuff like this. And I was looking for some specific font, you know. Later on, I found out it was not a font. But while searching for this font, I discovered a video of Theo Swan. He had a Pilot Parallel pen review. This video made so many, it's definitely more than hundreds, probably thousands of people started calligraphy because of this video. But yeah, I watched this video like hundreds of times. Like, I was so in love. Like, when I saw the video, right away, I knew, like, something inside of me clicked and I knew I want to do this for the rest of my life. And basically, this is how everything started.
So who was the video from?
It was by Theo Swan, Adam.
Yeah.
It's actually where we had the exhibition, yeah, at Scriptorium. This is his place. But yeah, everything started because of Adam. Like, for the first year after I found this video, I was trying to do calligraphy, you know. I didn't have any calligraphy pens. I had some highlighters, which had a bit of broad edge nib, and I was doing just some some ugly stuff. I still have it on a Facebook page that is hidden, but I have my first tries. It's such a bad work.
And what happened after you watched this video? You started looking for other tutorials, or you started self-educating in calligraphy? How did that journey go?
Well, as I said, I had this highlighter, which I was trying to do stuff. I found some alphabets online, which I was trying to copy. I was searching for other artists. I was searching for, I don't know why, but back then I had the idea that I have to go to a place and get a certificate in order to be a calligrapher.
Yeah.
Probably because, like, in this period, I was a bartender. I was a bartender for 11 years. And in bartending, you know, I had a couple of certificates, and probably this was influencing my thoughts that I have to have a certificate for calligrapher. But yeah, I was searching place to do this classes or workshops. I was searching for other calligraphers. I was searching for information in general. And this is like almost a year passed, and I was very frustrated because I couldn't find almost anything. The very few websites that I could find about calligraphy there were very old, outdated, almost no information. And I got very annoyed, and in the end just decided to make what I was missing. And this was calligraphy. This is how Calligraphy Master started. And at this point, one year practicing on my own, searching for people and information and everything, I already have discovered a few people. This was like 6 or 7 people. And I had already the idea for Calligraphy Masters. And funny enough, the first person that I asked to be part of the crew was Theo Swan. Once he said yes to the idea, I wrote a couple more people. And I remember Jackson Alves and Pokra Swampus, they said, because I told them, you know, Theo Swan said yes. And they were like, oh, if Theo Swan is in, I'm in as well.
That's so good. And, yeah. And it makes a lot of sense, like hearing where you're coming from and how you struggle in the very beginning with, you know, finding resources and information about calligraphy. It makes a lot of sense that you started a platform like this. Now, for those that are listening and don't know Calligraphy Masters, Calligraphy Masters is an online platform, is an online community, but also is now a YouTube channel that showcases calligraphy masters from across the world. And it's really a remarkable initiative. It's now a YouTube channel with hundreds of thousands of followers. You have interviews, hundreds of interviews to calligraphy masters from across the world, right? Or would you like to tell me a little bit about what is Calligraphy Masters, and what are the numbers and the figures of Calligraphy Masters?
Sure. Like, before this, I want just to clear something out, because I know a lot of people get confused that we are the people who are in the, we call ourselves Calligraphy Masters, and this is wrong. Like, the name was chosen simply because, I don't know, for a long time I was looking for a name, you know, to put a name on this community. And a lot of names, they were taken. I also use numerology. I'm a big fan for numerology. So, I was trying to get Calligraphy Master, like one person. But this was taken, like there was a website. And funny enough, Calligraphy Masters was available. But the funny thing is that somebody has used it in the past, but not anymore. And Calligraphy Masters was okay for my numerology, so I take it. But the idea behind it is not that the people who are inside of the crew, like we are a crew. I don't know if you're familiar with graffiti. Usually graffiti, they have crews, you know?
Yes.
So that's why I decided to do something similar for the calligraphy. And the name is Calligraphy Masters because I want to encourage people that everyone should believe that they can become a master of their crafts if they put the passion, dedication in everything. But please, people, keep in mind, it is just a name. The people in the crew, we don't consider ourselves masters. Of course, for me, back then, all the people that I took in the crew, for me, they were masters. Yeah. A lot of the people our days, for me, they are still masters. But I know for sure a lot of them, they don't consider it, consider themselves as a masters. Of course, we have some real masters like Julian Waters, John Stevens, Paul Antonio. Like, there are people who, I'm not the only one who considers them as masters, but yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I clear out about the name.
And yeah, and
people get confused.
I think I appreciate that. And also, I think that, you know, as a name, it's very aspirational. It means that, as you said, that if you dedicate time and effort and passion, and you put passion into it, then you can become a calligraphy master yourself. Now, I I want to know a little bit about what is it, what is the step by step of building a platform like this one? Because I can imagine that what now Calligraphy Masters has a hundreds of thousands of YouTube followers, as I mentioned before, but I bet that you started with just one or two followers. So how do you, what's the step-by-step of building a platform like this? If you can tell from the first, very first stages to what it is right now to run a platform like this one.
Yeah, sure. Like when I started it, like it started, it was officially launched 11th of January 2014, and I explained already what was the name about, but the main idea of creating Calligraphy Masters was to unite the community and to inspire people, because back then when I watched the video of Tio Swan, of course something clicked and I knew that this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. But also something that really impressed me, and I like the way that this video inspired me deep inside. I was like, damn, like this is so cool. I want one day to be able to inspire other people the way this inspired me, you know. So for a lot of time, the main goals of Calligraphy Masters was to unite the community, to be able to provide resources, other calligraphers. But the main idea was simply to inspire people to write, you know, because this is another of the main reasons I started it, because you know in what technology-based world we are living, and it's becoming more and more technology. People are not even writing anymore, so those were kind of the goals of Calligraphy Masters. When I started 11th of January 2014, I registered the Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. There was also Tumblr, which I don't use.
I had a Tumblr too.
but I started only with the Facebook. I registered the other places simply because to have it registered and nobody to take the name. But we started on Facebook, and right away, I don't know, like I started with the people who were back then in the crew were Tio Swan, Matthias Wolski, aka WLK, Pokra Swampus, Paul Antonio, Jackson Alves, Martin Schmetzer, who is the hand lettering artist. He is not anymore in the crew, unfortunately, but still a huge friend to me. And myself, like those are like six or seven people. This is how everything started. And I don't know, it just started growing like crazy. I didn't expect anything, you know. I was doing simply the thing that I was missing, and there was a lot of passion involved. It is still today, but it started growing like crazy, and this growth was inspiring me back to put even more work on it. And I don't know, it's kind of, it went very naturally, but I guess a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifices. Sacrifices in means of I had to work all the time on this, you know, and summertime when everybody loves summer, you know. People calling me, oh, let's go out, you know. I look out, it's amazing weather, but I was like, yeah, no, you know, I'm at home building Calligraphy Masters. And sacrifices in this kind of thing, like not going with friends out, not going doing fun stuff. I was simply working all the time, like it is today. Today is even more, because back then I was just doing it out of passion, and I was loving what's happening, like all the attention and the growth. But that was back then, like, yeah.
And nowadays, well, it's a huge platform, and I can imagine that you have now another structure to run the YouTube channel and the community. So do you have a programming? Do you have a schedule of interviews? I see that you are posting content and interviews often. So how does this work right now?
You know, it's been 10 years of Calligraphy Masters, and if I tell you the truth, you won't believe me, but there's never been a plan. There's never been a structure. Like, I have basically, it's not really freestyling. It's more like I'm a very sensitive person in means of intuition, energies, and I trust my sixth sense, if you can call it this way.
Yeah.
And for a very long time it was working, but at one point, like, a lot of things start growing even more. And yeah, I had tough times, like, last 2-3 years, because it's been 10 years and doing this all the time, it is cool, but last 2-3 years I had a lot of burnouts. I had a lot of huge periods of with depressions and stuff, which was not cool at all. And there's been so many times where I was really close to give up on it and like simply give up and stop doing it, but I'm really happy and grateful that I didn't give up, because I mean, every time you have a thought to give up and you don't give up, there comes a time that you are grateful to yourself for not giving up in this moment.
Yeah.
But
because I can imagine that, you know, building a project like this that also inspires so many people, you know, I've seen it, I felt it firsthand when I went to the exhibition of Calligraphy Masters here in Berlin. There's such a beautiful community, and you all know one another, and you all really appreciate one another, and there's something really valuable in belonging to a group of people that gets you. And I know that because I also belong to communities, and I also build communities inside my own company and my own academy. So I know how powerful that can be, and I know how much you get out of it. But being the one, you know, being the one that can kind of like manages all this different stuff, I can imagine that is a lot. And I wonder, you know, in the YouTube channel, you have featured, yes. So for those that are watching, Milene wants to show me something, or I don't know what you're gonna show me now.
Yeah, because earlier you also asked me about the YouTube. Like, there was one reason only for me that I started YouTube, and this was the reason.
Ah, you wanted one of those. So Milene is showing the plaque or the prize that you get when you reach, I think, how many followers?
100K.
100K.
100.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that you got it, are you going for the next milestone or?
Oh, this is long time ago, yeah. You know? But back then I'm still a huge YouTuber. Like, I love watching YouTube videos, but back then I was watching a lot of PewDiePie. I was watching a lot of Casey Neistat and a few other YouTubers. And seriously, this was the only reason I started YouTube. Like, because of this, I was pushing a lot. I was working like crazy. Like, this is one of the main reasons for the YouTube channel.
That's a good.
The funny thing is, I got my plaque, like, you know, they give you 100K, but I received mine when I had already 300K followers. So I had to request it. They didn't send it by themselves. It was kind of, I don't know, like a funny story, but right now, I'm gonna be giving away soon the plaque.
Ah, really? Oh my God!
Yes.
Okay, get ready.
yeah, it will be given away on Calligraphy Masters YouTube channel. I'm actually preparing the video from Berlin. It should have been up a few days ago, but I'm just super busy.
Yeah.
But once the video comes up, it will be explained how people can win this, because you know, when I told my friends that I'm giving away this, they were like, "What? Are you crazy? How can you give?" I'm like, "Dude, yes, this is the reason I started, but this is just some material stuff, you know?"
Yeah.
Generally, I try to be a very spiritual person. I'm always trying to grow spiritually and stuff like this. And this is material things.
Yeah.
Of course, it was nice. Like, it is still a good thing, but after all, it's just something material. Like, it doesn't... It means something, but I'm pretty sure that somebody who is from the audience and received this will appreciate it much more than me, you know? Because a lot of people, they would never get probably something like this. Not everybody is a YouTuber. Of course, if you're a YouTuber, it can take you weeks, months, years even to receive it. But there is a way to receive it. And I'm sure a lot of the audience, they would never be YouTubers. And I'm sure somebody who would never be a YouTuber would... We will appreciate owning something like this much more than me.
And you know, Milena, I think it makes a lot of sense because you are giving it back to the people who made it possible in a way, you know?
Like, yes, I think, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And besides, you know, having gotten this, which is a physical object that gives proofs of all the results that you generated with the YouTube channel. You also featured various calligraphers on the podcast as well, because you also run a podcast, and you featured a lot of calligraphy masters and calligraphers in the YouTube channel. And I wonder, what are some of the lessons or the most memorable lessons or stories that stay with you? Is there one or two that you know that stick in your mind that you would like to tell our listeners?
Well, I'm happy to say that most of the podcasts are been truly pleasure. And I can tell if a podcast it's been good if by the end of the recording I'm smiling, you know, or I've been smiling a lot through the podcast. There have been very few times where, I don't know, I probably just the talk didn't click that much with the person.
Yeah.
But let's say 95% of the time, I'm super happy with the conversations. Like, I remember the podcast with John Stevens. Mm. I was so nervous.
Oh,
you know?
I can imagine.
Because for me, he's a legend. Of course, now
he is.
I'm not getting like, let's say, not excited, but I would not get the same emotions because now he's part of the crew. Like, we've been communicating. Mm-hmm. It's just different. But back then, I remember the podcast started and I was so stressing. I was like, sorry, I just keep forgetting my questions and stuff. It's an experience. Yeah. It's an experience because just keep in mind, I've been 11 years a bartender. Like, and I've said this to many people. If a master or somebody who has been into calligraphy had started calligraphy masters, it could have been much bigger or much better. Mm. Or even somebody with money, because throughout those 10 years, 99% of the results, they're organic reach.
Yeah.
I almost never put money into advertising or anything like this. It has been always organic.
Yeah.
Like, and I have knowledge in nothing, you know. When I started Calligraphy Masters, if I need marketing, I go on YouTube, I learn. If I start a podcast, everything that I've done around Calligraphy Masters, I started from zero. I haven't been good in anything. I'm not professional marketing, I'm not professional community, I'm not professional business, nothing. Everything it's a journey for me. Constantly learning things, constantly growing and trying to improve.
Well, but it seems that you are compensating that with the time and effort you're putting into it. And at the end, it's giving the results. At the end, the community is growing, the channel is growing. So you mentioned that you interviewed John Stevens. What are some of the things that, if you remember one special story or one special lesson that you learned from him or from any other that you interview in the podcast, what is one or two that stayed with you?
To be honest, I wouldn't remember because this podcast with John Stevens was recorded back in 2020.
Oh, okay.
And I released it like last year or the year before because I had, like, it's happened a few times that I record a lot of stuff and my hard drive goes corrupt. Like, the podcast with John Stevens and some other podcasts, I thought I lost them for like almost a year and something. Somehow I managed to retrieve them, but it's been a few times that work, like 5 or 6 months of work, just goes away in a second because a hard drive burns, my computer burns, something like this happens, you know. So this happened for like 2 or 3 times already. And I'm more protective now. I have 2-3 different hard drives, external hard drives. I'm trying also to release as soon as possible the stuff because you said I'm posting constantly, but last year it's been so busy year for me. And I had podcasts which were been waiting for a year and a half to be released.
Yeah.
And in December I was like, man, I don't want this to continue. I want to release everything that's been holding me and to start the year clear, you know.
Yeah.
And that's why I released all the podcasts. Usually they're supposed to come one a week, but I released them all, and now I've been 1 or 2 weeks without a podcast. I tried earlier today to record one, and as I said, I couldn't record it for some technical issues. You know, there is always something funny going on. Like, people don't see it, but sometimes I'm chasing guests for months and months, you know, trying to get them on. Usually they are up for it, but time difference,
oh, yeah.
People also busy with projects. It could be tricky. It could be very tricky.
I can totally relate to that, Milen. Being someone who also runs a podcast, I know how much work goes into it that goes unnoticed. And I know how, you know, how much work goes into scheduling calls and time slots or recording slots, how much work it goes into editing and promoting the podcast and everything. Because at the end, you know, you want to honor the person that takes the time to talk to you and to be on the podcast. So you also want to promote the podcast or the episode properly so that the person gets the attention that they deserve. And I also know that, you know, it's funny because recently I listened to one of my latest podcast episodes myself, which is something that I never do. And I said to my team, hey, you know, yesterday I did something which I hadn't done for many years. I remember that we started doing the podcast like 2 years ago. I don't remember now. But we are over 100 something episodes. And I remember that when I just started, I listened to one of the episodes and I thought like, well, it needs a lot of improvement. I'm going to get better. You know, as the more I do, the better I will get. And I listened to recently, I listened to one of my, the episodes that I recorded. And I said to my team, like, I'm really happy today because I listened to one of the episodes and I don't suck that much. And I'm pretty proud of the episode that I recorded. And I wonder, how is it for you? How do you feel now after years of running a podcast, of running the YouTube channel? Do you feel that you have gotten better? Have you learned some things that help you run these interviews more effectively and also to make them more interesting for the viewers and for the listeners?
Well, first of all, I want to say you have more episodes than me, even though I started the podcast earlier than you. Mm. But as I said, I'm doing a lot, some periods where I don't do anything. Second of all, I wanted to ask you if you do everything by yourself, but you just mentioned you have a team.
Yeah, I don't do everything by myself.
Well, that's the difference with me. Everything that goes around Calligraphy Masters, everything, it's done by me.
Yeah.
Which this is a huge issue. Like, it's not an issue. It's just things could be happening much faster and easier if I had a team. But at the moment, still, I'm doing everything by myself.
Yeah.
About the podcast, I can see that I improved in terms that I'm much more easy to talk to people, to ask questions. Also, sometimes, you know, a lot of the guests, they never done a podcast, and a lot of the people are nervous. Mm. And something that I'm happy, somehow, I don't know how, I've learned to make the guests feel comfy and to open up.
That's
sometimes
awesome.
They open so much that in the end of the episode, when we close, they were like, oh, you know, I'm not sure if I should have said this. You made me open up. And I'm like, just leave it, you know. Like, people need to be themselves. Like,
yeah.
But otherwise, I'm not happy with a lot of things. I'm still not happy with quality of video, sometimes the microphone.
Hmm.
But, you know, I try to not worry about those things because it's much more important to have something and put it out than be willing to make it perfect, you know. This perfection can hold you for a very long time, and perfection sucks, you know. I'm pretty sure a lot of people, especially artists, everybody wants to present their self in the best possible way. But everything that I've been doing with Calligraphy Masters, no matter the podcast, Instagram, YouTube, it's the opposite way.
Yeah.
I might produce shitty content, but I'm producing constantly.
Yeah.
And I might be improving slowly and small, but I'm putting out work. And you never know, sometimes the shittiest content, the ugliest thing can bring you such opportunities that you cannot imagine.
Absolutely.
And you can, You can be working on a project for months in your head to be perfect. You are satisfied. You release it and nothing. Mm. You know, the majority of times when I do something and I'm satisfied, I'm happy and hype, I'm like, oh, nice. I release it, nothing happens. Mm. And so many times there is something I'm about to post, I'm like, I'm so unhappy with it. I'm like, man, I shouldn't. I post it, people go crazy.
Yeah.
So what I can tell to people, post a lot. Forget about perfection. Try to post as much as you can and have a small improvement at a time.
Absolutely. I cannot agree more. And I think that's such a good reminder for those listening. I think that it often goes unseen. The power of taking action and the power of doing things and getting that feedback that is essential for you to get going, you know, to continue making stuff. Because if you don't know how that is going to impact an audience, if you don't know, I mean, until you don't do it, until you don't put it out there, you never know. And whatever you get in return as feedback is something that is information that you can use to create the next piece or to create your next project, right? So I always say, like, yeah, put it out there. And as you said, fuck perfection and just go ahead and do it.
This is something social media that puts in the head of people, because Instagram, YouTube, you see all this, everything almost perfect, you know, and everybody assumes that they have to produce the same results, which is, and I know a lot of friends, artists, and just friends who are not even artists, they feel so bad. Yeah. They're afraid to put stuff out. I'm like, why? Yeah. Why? You know, for like, if you do something from your heart, if you don't do it for the likes and for the views, you wouldn't mind.
Absolutely.
Like, this is part of your journey.
Yeah.
Like, it might not get the best likes and views, but after some, like, there probably, if you don't give up at some point, you'll get the recognition, which in your head you're like, oh, I want these likes. And if you don't give up, probably you get to this point. But if you've been putting out this content, it will show not just shitty stuff, but it will show your journey.
Yeah.
You know, nobody is perfect. Nobody is born perfect with perfect skills. And it's amazing to see somebody's journey.
Yeah.
Sometimes bad stuff comes out. You cannot produce every time the best things, but it's part of your journey. It's part of who you are.
Yeah. And also, I think it's important to, I love this topic because I think it's such a present topic for a lot of new artists and probably many of the people that are listening to this show, that we often forget the fact that we are all in different stages of our journey. So the people that you are following on social media are probably doing, and you think that they're amazing and they're doing amazing work, they have been probably doing it for a long time. And for you that you're just starting, of course, when you look at their work, you feel like, well, I would never get there. But if you continue doing what you're doing, if you continue putting in the work, you will get there. And many of the people that you're following or you're looking at started the same way that you're starting. So I think this is a good reminder for everybody listening. Now, I'm wondering, you put a lot of effort into building a community like Calligraphy Masters, and you mentioned before that oftentimes it just becomes so much because you're doing all of this on your own, and sometimes you experience periods of burnout and exhaustion, and you felt like you wanted to give up. And I wonder where is your own art left? Where is Milanese in the whole picture?
That's actually the answer of the question. Like, I know it. Back then I didn't realize it, but all those burnouts and depressions were because I had to put 100% of my time to Calligraphy Masters.
Mm.
In front of my eyes, I've seen people which started, they were worse than me in skills.
Mm.
And during the time I'm doing Calligraphy Masters, they become better than me. I've also built a lot of artists following, you know, featuring somebody. I've built audience for a lot of people.
Mm.
And at some point, I don't mind helping people grow out. I'm happy to see people developing skills in this. But as you said, I'm also an artist, and all these periods when I had to ignore Millenist, myself, my art, my calligraphy, this was reflecting me in burnouts and depressions. And last year, this the other side, I gave less attention to calligraphy masters, and I gave more attention to me, which was amazing. I had so many work projects and stuff, but this is also not good, because I don't want doing calligraphy for myself to impact calligraphy masters, and I don't want it the other way. So I think I'm very close to balancing it, but I still haven't found the perfect formula. It is important, if you grow a community like me, to also give time for yourself, time for your art, time to develop yourself as human, as artist, whatever it is, you need to put some time for you. Because building a community, everything that I've done, Calligraphy Masters, it's mostly for the people.
Yeah.
It is important. Like, I love what I'm doing. It's like, in those periods where I've been burnout, depressions, I've received emails from people which, when I read, I literally cry, because my life is fucked up and I'm wondering what to do next. And all of a sudden I read emails, people telling me, you know, if it's not for you, I don't know what I'm going to do. And
wow,
like, this is super nice to read, but it just make me cry, because I know my life, like where I'm in my life, and I'm don't feeling so well.
Yeah.
But seeing comments like this, it just gives you power, and I have to continue, you know. When I read something like this, I'm like, man, I cannot stop. It's important for a lot of people. And funny thing, for a longest time, I was just working and producing and producing. And at some point, I'm looking, there's like 400-500K followers. And I realized that this is also responsibility, you know.
Of course.
I cannot just keep posting stuff if it's not good enough, or if it's just my thoughts, like, the bigger it becomes, also becomes a lot of responsibility.
Of course.
Like,
and do you feel like you're finding a balance between like giving out to the community and still taking care of yourself as an artist and your work? Have you achieved that balance, or?
I'm close. I'm on the way. Like, I'm much better than before. Like, I'm closer to this point, but I'm not sure I have found it yet.
Yeah. And like, what are the things that you put in place in order to bring back Millenist to the picture? Were there some practice times that you, or time slots that you allocated during the day to practice, or you took classes, or you took workshops? I don't know. How did that go for you?
No, I never done. Like, I've done actually two workshops in my life.
Yeah.
They're both been with Paul Antonio. And it's funny, because I've been in place, like, for example, 2016, we had... Now, this in January was the power of words. Mm. 2016, we had the design of words in Milano during the Fashion Week. And it was exhibition and 5 days of workshops.
Wow.
Workshops by Pokras Lampas, Fraquan, Tius Juan, Paul Antonio, Tolga Girgin. And funny thing, I was there on those workshops, but because I was with the camera, I had to take pictures and videos, I didn't attend. So in my life, I've done only two workshops. But to answer your question, sometimes I've been like, 9-10 months without writing anything. And what I do is just simply, I'm like, okay, I know I have a lot of things to do for Calligraphy Masters, but today I take day off from Calligraphy Masters. I just sit and write.
That's so good.
This is something that a lot of artists been telling me, you know, you need to have at least one day off from the work. And for the longest time, I was like, no, I'm not taking a day off, you know.
Yeah.
I'm hustling all day, every day, but last few months, I realized how important it, like, they take a day off. Like, and I'm telling this also my friends, my artist friends, everybody, it is really important to have some rest. I know what is to be burning inside. Like, 99% of my life is work. I love what I'm doing, and I want to do it all the time. If it was for me, I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't sleep, I would just work. but it is really important to take some rest.
Yeah.
Like at least one day in the week you have to dedicate to do nothing, or okay, not do nothing, but go out, read a book, I don't know, something that is not the usual work. Because if you do this, you come to where I was some time ago, depressions,
yeah,
burnouts, doubting yourself, doubting what you're doing. And believe me, this is a not good place to be in, not at all.
Yeah, I think that's a real risk in our disciplines, that many of us have turned their hobby or their passion into their work, and it's very hard to set the limit and to draw the line where, you know, where work starts and where your rest starts or your personal life starts. And I've seen that happening often with other artists that I work with and with myself. You know, if it was for you, you would be doing it all the time, but at the same time, it has become your job, so you have to at some point draw the line, right? And I wanted to dive deeper into the working aspect of a calligrapher, because I know the world of lettering and type design, but when it comes to and I know how a lettering artist or a type designer can make a living, and there's various ways in which you can drive income into your business, but how does this look like for calligraphers? How do calligraphers make a living today?
Well, there's plenty of ways.
Yeah.
First, like, okay, you're a lettering artist, so you're a bit closer and more likely to understand me, but let's say, because I meet people who are not calligraphy or lettering artists, of course, in my day-to-day life, and when I tell somebody what I'm doing, they're like looking to me with like, what, how you make money with letters? And my most common answer is like, everything that is done with letters, like typography, you see advertising, you see design, whatever, everything that is done of letters can be done with calligraphy as well.
Yeah.
So doesn't matter if it's advertising for a video, just some advertising, if it is a logo, if it is anything that consists of letters can be done also with calligraphy. Of course, I'll answer your question better. How calligraphers make money? There is various ways. So if you're a calligrapher who is experienced calligrapher, you do classes and workshops. Mm. Of course, there are so many people, they've been into calligraphy a few months, 1 year or something, and they start doing workshops. Of course, I'm nobody to judge, but usually I don't support this, because in 1 or 2 years, there is very small chance that you developed so much that you can teach people. And what is very bad, but those people don't understand, if you teach somebody the wrong things, later it will be very hard for him to unlearn the wrong stuff. Because this is what I noticed. I have been always self-taught. And last year I went to Portugal, to Paulo Antonio, for a class for copper plate. It was 3 days, residential class at his home. 3 days intensive, like 12 hours every day. And the second day I cried. I cried because Paul is like a brother to me. You know, we are very close, but whoever knows Paul, he's also a very good teacher and very strict when he's teaching. And I remember the second day, I was sitting writing there, and I'm self-taught, and I know I've do some stuff in the wrong way, but at some point, I was sitting and I had to think about 5 or 6 different things in order to do it properly. And this just was so frustrating for me. I just start crying. I was so annoyed with myself. And this is what I mean. It's very hard to unlearn the wrong things. So people, if you're thinking to attend a workshop, make sure that you are attending a workshop with somebody who is experienced, who is not just a few months or 1-2 years into calligraphy. Of course, there is a chance for people that are 1 or 2 years into calligraphy to be attending a lot of masters and to learn the proper way and to be able to teach you. But I think the chance for this to happen is it's very small. Every time, make sure you attend a class with the proper people.
Yeah, sometimes I actually always think that, you know, there's always that someone that is under you in a way in terms of learning a skill. So you can always teach to someone that is just started if you have a little bit of experience. I understand what you say, that sometimes learning the, you know, the techniques in the proper way can save you a lot of time down the road, and learning techniques that are not the right ones. At the same time, you know, sometimes I think that, and I know that you're passionate about calligraphy, and you also are surrounded by a lot of people who are really masters in calligraphy, because it's true that you have created a community that makes place for everybody. But at the same time, the people that are featured inside Calligraphy Masters are people that have been doing calligraphy for a long time and that have reached a very high level, right?
And this is not always the case. Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. But you know, that's also the reason some of the real masters, they don't like Calligraphy Masters.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I share a lot of work of masters and very skilled calligraphers, but for me, I've shared a lot of work of beginners, you know, also, because I'm not like in this mind that some masters have this mind. I won't mention names, but I've been contacted by masters and they're like, please don't feature me anymore, because a lot of the work shown there is not good enough. And wow. For me, this is such a snobby thing to say. That's why I'm not mentioning names. I don't want to be in beef with anyone.
For sure.
I love and support everyone in the community, every calligrapher. I might not like something like what I said, but I'm okay. I understand why this person is this. And it's no problem for me.
Yeah.
But I don't have this. For me, it's important to feature as a master's work, the same way as people that are not so skilled.
Yeah.
For me, it's important just to like, to what I see, to like it, and that I think it will inspire some people.
For sure.
That's why you can find master's future, but you can also find people that are not that skilled.
Yeah, and I think that's really valuable. That also seeing, you know, being able to see that you're featuring people that are just starting or that are in the beginning of their journey, it's also encouraging for someone that is just starting. And I also think that not everybody wants to master something. Some people do calligraphy because they enjoy it and they want to do something on the weekends or whatever, and they enjoy like using their hands, and that's totally fine. And I think that it's I can totally resonate with that mindset of like, it's not about, you know, the masters that are at the top, because that makes it feel really unreachable. Like it's something that, you know, it will take me years and years to get there, and probably it will. But at the same time, showing beginners or people who are just starting in their journey encourages those that are, you know, getting started to say like, hey, you know, maybe in a few months, a year, I will get there. So you were mentioning that you were talking about the different ways of making a living as a calligrapher.
Yes, and I mentioned workshops,
classes. What else?
Yes, this is one of the things. Let's say, for example, Susan Cunningham. She does a lot of addressing envelopes and what is called wedding invitations, stuff like this. So this is another way. Another way is to do logo designs. Another way is to do tattoo designs, which last few years become more and more like people are getting to this. Other thing is simply do clothing designs. This is also a lot of people have interest, like people are contacting for designing for their clothing. And here is the moment to advertise something.
For sure.
Plugging.
Bring it in.
This is something I haven't released. Good. It's probably coming out today or tomorrow. And this is limited edition 99 t-shirts with the prints.
Ooh, so good.
That we just, the one that we released for the first time in Berlin.
So for those that are listening and are not watching on YouTube, so Milene is wearing right now a t-shirt with the Calligraphy Masters monogram, which is beautiful, and the power of words. On one side and the monogram on the other side, and in the back of the t-shirt he has the alphabet that they created for the Calligraphy Masters exhibition, for the 10 years of Calligraphy Masters, right? And it's like an alphabet, which each one of the letters is created by each one of the featured artists, right? Yeah. And it's beautiful. So go get it on, where is it? It's calligraphymasters.com.
Yes, calligraphymasters.com. And for your audience who is listening, you can use code CM10ANN. I'll write you the code. Just
excellent. Just so in case. CM?
10 AN with double N from anniversary, you know, 10ANN. And this will give you 10% discount.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
And also, I think maybe you can also plug something you're wearing on your head. What's
this? Oh, yes. This is our... Thank you for giving me the segue. So this is actually recent. We are developing like merch and with our branding. And this is one of the items. I also have a mug and everything. So it's coming soon, but not yet, but definitely we'll be letting everybody know about it. So
I want to mention few more things for how to make money.
Yes.
Like I also already mentioned like many ways to make money, but there's also a few more. For example, like me, I don't consider myself a calligrapher. Mm-hmm. I consider myself calligraphy artist because I use calligraphy to do my art.
Yeah.
And a bit different ways to make money with calligraphy is like me. Like I do a lot of walls, murals, like inside apartments, like depends on the people where they call me. I also do cars. This is something that a traditional calligrapher won't do. But My idea is there is plenty of ways to make a living out of calligraphy, and it depends on what kind of calligrapher you are. If you're a traditional calligrapher, all the stuff that I mentioned earlier is a way for you to make money with it.
Yeah.
If you are more untraditional, more someone who comes from graffiti background and stuff like this, maybe the things that I do, like interior murals, just a mural on the street, doing cars and all kinds of crazy stuff. Like you can check in my Instagram. You can do also, like, you know, that's the funny thing with the internet. It gives, doesn't matter if you're a calligrapher or anything else, whatever you are, with the internet, there is so many opportunities to make a living out of whatever you love to do.
Thank you so much. And I think these are great hints and great ideas for those that are listening and are thinking, hey, I want to, you know, find out if I get into calligraphy, if I start doing this, what would be a possible way of generating income with my art? And I want to go back to something that you mentioned before. You were talking about, you know, the digital age and how people are not writing with their hands anymore. So I wonder, what is your take on what is the role of calligraphy in the present moment, but also how do you see calligraphy, taking a part of the art scene in the future, right? Now that the, you know, the digital media and the digital tools are taking over and are predominantly the tool that we all use to write, to send messages, where do you think calligraphy will find a place in our world?
I think it will stay. Like back in 2014 when I started Calligraphy Masters, calligraphy was considered a dying craft.
Mm-hmm.
10 years later, and I don't want to take what is called, I don't want to say, oh, I'm the reason, but I think Calligraphy Masters played a role for calligraphy to be what it is in our world today, and I can see it. I can see so many calligraphers. I can see brands using calligraphy. Some years ago, Tuse One told me, you know, it is going up, but at some point it will start coming down. Mm-hmm. Well, it's been 10 years and I think it's still going up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some years ago, I watched a TED talk from Jake Weidman, and he was speaking about, there was some scientist, they did, what is called? When scientists try something, experiment.
Yeah.
And they saw if somebody is typing on a keyboard or if they are typing on a phone like this, the brain is like this, zero, zero, nothing happens. When you start writing with a pen, so many like sections in the brain works.
I don't think
I need to explain anymore to see the difference why writing with your hand is important. Yes, typing it's easy, but it does nothing for you. It just makes you more and more a zombie. Writing with your hands, it's always been important. It is a therapeutic. It could be, you can use it for meditation. Like it will help you in so many ways, and it will develop stuff in your brain. I cannot tell you what it will develop in your brain. If people are interested, I'm sure they can find some information online. But it is crucially important for me, and for me to promote people to keep writing, because I know, like, I've met with teachers, they say, you know, our kids, before they were saying kids write ugly, you know, and that's fine. But now, like last few teachers that I met, they say the kids cannot write. Not that they are writing ugly, they cannot write anymore. And this is really not good. This is very dangerous, because imagine growing up and not being able to write. I don't think this is cool. So there is some steps that I would like to take. I'll start making some free workshops for students, for like small children and stuff like this. And I think it's important for people to write in general. Like I mean, you're not doing calligraphy, but you're still using your hand, you're drawing. You know how it makes you feel, and it is good. It's something that's from the past, but I know a lot of things from the past, they disappear, but calligraphy and lettering have to stay, people. Listen to this.
I'm also very positive about the future of calligraphy and handcraft in general, because I feel that even if the race of technology and technological tools is a fact, I think that even opens up a bigger opportunity for a craft like calligraphy. It will make calligraphers play a crucial role for creating things that are unique and that are, you know, custom. And I think that if anything, the art of writing will live through calligraphers and the unique craft and the unique art that they create. So I was thinking.
Can I just mention something?
Sure.
Because I'm also interested in this topic, and I've also spoken with people. And for example, because for the longest time I was very against people doing iPad calligraphy, and you know, I've spoken with many people, and some of them told me, "Oh, but you know, we don't use paper and blah blah blah." And for example, I also spoke with John Stevens about his take on we actually use paper, and this is like wood, you know. And he was like, "Well, you know, but this is already a paper that's created."
Yeah.
And back then I was like, yeah, that's true. But I realized, no, this is not true. Like, yes, the paper is created, but it's created because people buy it. And if you keep buying paper, they will keep producing. So in this way, we're not useful for the earth. That's why what I started, like, when we created the second alphabet print.
Yeah.
Every time that I sell a print, I put a small amount of money for like 10 trees to be put up in the earth.
Yeah.
So, and I think this is crucial for all calligraphers and lettering artists. Yes, we need paper to write, but it doesn't cost you much to put some money, donate some money to, I'm sure there's plenty of causes that work with planting trees. And I think nobody's speaking about this. I've spoken with many people. I don't want to say that I'm the only one concerned about this, but it is important that I know how much paper I use. So something that I want to ask all calligraphers and lettering artists, people, from just from time to time, put aside $10 or $20. It's nothing for you, but $10 or $20 could be 50 or 100 trees, you know, and this is a huge difference. That's the thing I wanted to say.
That's so good for you to send a reminder. And like going back to what John Stevens was saying is that, which just came to my mind, in a way, you know, paper was also technology back then. Right now, paper is something that is given, but every new tool that we use is technology. Like nowadays, for us, a new tool is the iPad or a new app that you can download on your iPad. But back then it was having, you know, a piece of paper where you can write and draw.
That's true.
And I think that as long as there will be, there will continue to be new tools, there will, you know, the art of calligraphy will evolve with that. Right. And what you were just saying about, like, that in the beginning you were a bit resistant about the use of the iPad to create calligraphy. You can also create pretty great stuff, like very different stuff from the ones that you can create with the technology like paper and ink. Right.
You know why I was against it? Later on, I realized I was not really against the iPad, but when the Procreate came out, all of a sudden there was full of people doing amazing stuff, but it was digital. Yeah. And this is fine, but I was against people who are beginners to start using the iPad Pro. Mm. And in their mind, okay, on the iPad it's very easy to produce something nice. So I was against this. Like, of course, if you have already the skills and you can do it in paper, iPad Procreate is just another tool. I'm fine with this. But if somebody is a beginner and he starts with the iPad, I'm against this. This is a big no-no. Because on the iPad, you create something really nice, but let's say somebody asks you to make it on paper, and what do you do in this moment? Nothing. You can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, there's also, I'm passionate about this topic because I also open or change my mind about this in the past years. You know, I see more and more artists that are married to a certain tool and a certain media, and that's totally fine because as long as they, you know, they feel comfortable using that and they can create their best work using that tool, I think everybody is free to use any tool they want. But at the same time, I totally understand where you're coming from because also you are so deeply connected with the craft, the traditional craft of calligraphy. And I see also value in like learning the fundamentals, you know, starting from scratch, starting with the basics. And I know that for calligraphy, the basics are, you know, pen, ink, and paper. This is a perfect segue to what I wanted to ask you. I'm thinking that those that are listening are, you know, they feel very inspired by your passion for calligraphy, and they're wondering, okay, if I want to get started with this, what is it? What are my next steps? What are the things and resources and practices that you would recommend for beginners nowadays?
Yes, of course. So there is two ways you can start. Like I'm prepared for those questions because, you know, this is one of the pluses of running Calligraphy Masters. I'm constantly receiving questions and a lot of them are similar, so I know how to respond. So there is two ways to start. Unfortunately, there are people who don't have money and cannot afford stuff. Mm. And to be honest, to be a calligrapher, this is not the cheapest hobby, let's say this way. But if you don't want to spend money, there is a way. If you don't have money, the way to start calligraphy is you go on YouTube, go on Calligraphy Masters YouTube channel. There is so much videos that can help you start. You don't need fancy tools. You can start simply with a pencil or two pencils. If one pencil, if you want to write pointed nib calligraphy scripts like copper plates, Spencerian, and if you want broad edge scripts like fracture, black letter, and all these others, you just tape two pencils together and you have a broad edge nib.
Yeah.
The other thing is you can find still there are some free books online, which is also for free. In general, we live in technology-based world, which has a lot of minuses, but this also gives you pluses that all the information is out there. Yeah. If you know where to find it, and I'm telling you where to find it, I'm certain that a lot of the videos on the YouTube channel, and not only the videos, even the podcast, the story of the people, of those masters and what they share can help you and guide you. The second way to start calligraphy you don't even need to have that much money, but let's say you have some money to spend. And this is the way that I recommend, because I've been a self-taught. I am a self-taught, but I see the difference in being a self-taught and attending workshops and using books. If you are a beginner, for the longest times, I was recommending the Calligrapher's Bible, but I'm not recommending this anymore. Mm. Of course, it is a good book, but there is a better book, which is called The Art of Calligraphy. Mm. It's still from the same author. What was his name? David Harris? I'm not sure, maybe is the wrong name. But it's the same author of the Bible. So, The Art of Calligraphy. I'm sure that is the best book for calligraphy, because Paul Antonio
David
and
Harris,
some other calligrapher.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I got that one. Absolutely. Like, the essentials and the fundamentals are definitely there.
Yes.
I also recommend this one on my website. So, yeah.
So, using this book, and the other thing is attend classes, attend workshops.
Yeah.
Sometimes, depending on the people that you attend, it could be some money. But this is the easiest and the fastest way for you to become a calligrapher, and not only to become a calligrapher, but to become a good calligrapher. And please don't get me wrong, once you get to a workshop with a great master, let's say, and you spend, let's say, 2 or 3 days, don't be in your mind that after those 3 days you're gonna be able to write like him.
Yeah.
No, those masters, they will give you the tools and the knowledge on how to improve, but you need to spend time, you need to practice, and practice a lot. You know, this is one of the other minuses of social media. You see everything written so well, so fast, and this is edited videos.
Yeah.
Most of the times it's edited. Certain parts are cut off. The speed is not the same. It takes time. It takes dedication and a lot of practice. But yeah, those are my two ways for people who have money and who don't have money.
That's such a great reminder also. And I love those tips on like building your tools. Actually, there is ways in which you can build broad nib pens and calligraphy tools, which are, self-made. And you can make it with a piece of wood and you can get started. And perhaps in the beginning, you won't be using the most fancy tools, but you can upgrade as you move forward.
I started my story, like I watched the video of Tius reviewing the Pilot Parallel pens, and I wanted those pens for the longest time. But as I said, I started with highlighter markers. Probably nobody's doing
for
calligraphy
sure.
work, but this was what I had, what I found, and it worked for me. Of course, when I get my Pilot Parallel pen, then this is another thing. A lot of people think that when they see somebody writing with the Pilot nice thing, a lot of people get the wrong idea that once you have the Pilot, you'll be able to write. No, you won't be able to write like this, but it is actually a tool that helps you to write easier and better, but it won't make you write the letters in a proper way.
That's so good that you mentioned, and I just let me grab the calligraphic tools that I have. So I'm not a calligrapher, but I've done calligraphy, and I think I always say that a smart lettering artist has a set of calligraphic tools in their toolbox, and I do have some of them. And for those that are wondering, like, what does a cost-efficient tool looks like, these are markers that you can buy in any. Let me just show it on the camera for those that are watching on YouTube. These are markers that you can buy in any supply shop. Just let me grab the pencil here. So give me a second. So these are markers that you can buy in any supply shop. Let me see if the camera is focusing. Well, not really focusing.
You can try like this.
Okay. Oh, here you see it. So these are markers. And this makes, the times as a broad nib pen. So you don't need a super fancy metal broad nib and ink. You can just buy this marker. These are very inexpensive. They cost like $2 or €2, depending where you are. You can also buy brushes. So brushes are also very inexpensive, and you can just use brushes. I know more about calligraphy than I think I do.
It's good.
You can buy this. This is a €1 brush or a $1 brush, and you can use those. You can also, as Milen said, you can also get two pencils glued together scotch tape.
You can use tape. You can use just a rubber band. There's so
absolutely
many ways.
And this makes the times of a broad nib calligraphic tool. So there's various ways to get started with like $0 or $1, and then you can just use copy paper. This is what I also say when it comes to learning lettering. You just need a pencil and copy paper. I know that for calligraphers that's a different story, but nowadays I use copy paper to create my sketches. I don't use a special Hanemühle paper or whatever.
Talking about this, I just remind some. I've been willing to do this video for more than 5 years on YouTube. I never done it. It's gonna be called the Infinited Practice Sheet. I'm gonna show you something, which is also, this costs probably around, I don't know, it might be even cheaper now, maybe more expensive, but let's say I get it for $10.
Yes.
This is something, I don't know, Chinese or whatever.
Yeah.
And this is the sheet. You can use just a brush or some marker, and what you use is water.
Uh-huh.
And once you write with the water, it's like ink.
So good.
Once it's dry, it gets away. Now it's wet. That's why it looks like ink. But this is the infinite practice sheet. You don't need even to buy paper. Like, there is always ways. If you are willing to do something, you will find a way.
That's so good. And then you can go buy my €1, $1 brushes, and you're all set to get started with calligraphy.
Yeah.
Really?
Check.
Look at that. And that's water.
Yes, it's water.
That's so good. And then later on, you can upgrade to these tools. So these are the pen tools that you were talking about before.
Pilot parallel pens.
So these are already like broad nibs, which have a cartridge, so you don't have to use an additional ink. But they cost also like around what, $8, $10?
$10, $12,
yeah,
something.
A little
like,
bit more.
You can find it cheaper, but yeah, depends on where you buy it.
Yeah, but then later you can upgrade to this kind of tools and go from there. Right?
Okay, let's just something last on the topic of the tools. For like, since I watched the video of Teal Swan, until last year, Pilot Parallel Pen, it's been my favorite pen. And I say until last year, because...
No affiliation in this video.
No.
Yeah.
It's no affiliation. I'm simply like...
No.
I
know that you mean
look,
it. Yeah.
This is the Pratic pen. Of course, I helped Pratic pen a lot to build as a brand, but in the beginning, his pens were not this good. But believe me, especially this series, it's a T series. It has like this in the middle.
Yeah.
So this is triple. This is the best broad edge pen. Like, if you've written with a Pilot, you know how sharp Pilot writes.
Mm.
But this writes even sharper than a Pilot. And I'm using this pen like 99% of my time, like the last months. Like, I almost don't use Pilots anymore.
Oh, so good.
Pratic pen, definitely recommend it.
Amazing. And then you can also build tools yourself. This is a ruling pen. These are kind of professionally done. These were made by Shani and Gisha. They're a friend of mine. If you're listening to this, then I still have your pens. These are kind of very well done, but you can do those cola pen. Yeah.
But you know, this is actually not, I mean, it's in a way true, but using a cola can, it's not good. The metal, it's very thin.
It's
I what I recommend is you get a can of beans or a can of tuna, and And the thing that's on the top, the circle top on the can of tuna or beans, which works much better. Don't use cola can. Cola pen is very thin and it's not good for writing. I know a lot of people make a tutorial on it, but I guess they don't know. Like, using a top of the can of tuna or beans or any other food, the metal is much thicker and it's much better to use for
self-made pen. Yeah, and it lasts longer. So the last one I wanted to show is this pointed brush, which is...
this is a brush pen.
Yeah, which is a brush marker, actually. And these are also very inexpensive. You can buy them anywhere. And then you have a pointed nib sort of with this pen. Yes, there's ways to get started with very few money. So I think this is one of the biggest myths of the crafts in general, like calligraphy or lettering, that you need all this fancy equipment, because you see on social media that they have a beautiful paper or the beautiful pens and all these beautiful inks and whatever, but actually you don't need that much. You can get started with, in the case of lettering, with which is drawing letter forms, is just pencil and paper. And in the case of calligraphy, you can build it on your own. You can use a marker.
I mean, you need all this fancy stuff, but you don't need it in the beginning.
For sure.
I mean, if you start, like, it will come on the way. You'll definitely get them, but this is not something that you need from the beginning.
Totally. And that's already something that is holding many people back from getting started. So just for those that are thinking, hey, should I do this? Should I jump into it? You can, and you don't need all that fancy stuff.
I just realized something that you asked me how to start, and I gave two ways, but I forget something really important. When you go on calligraphymasters.com/resources or just click on the button resources, there is a free PDF with guidelines for different pens. There is also ductuses with alphabets. For those of you who don't know what is a ductus is the whole alphabet, and there are small arrows which show which of the strokes you have to produce first, which is the second stroke, and so forth. Yeah. So, calligraphymasters.com/resources, you can get free resources that help you also for the grids and how to build some of the scripts.
That's amazing. And yes, those are amazing resources, together with, you know, studying properly with someone who will teach you the right tools and also the right techniques. And you also provided the resource of the Calligraphy Masters YouTube, which is youtube.com/calligraphymasters. This, I think, is a great place to get started, and also to gain that inspiration, as you said, like to listen to people that are doing it, will also give you like the courage to try it yourself.
You know, because I know, like, you asked me if I found like some progress in my podcast. I know how to do a podcast much more professional. I know I'm doing it in a way that every beginner will be doing it, but I'm doing it because I know those were the questions in my head when I was beginner. You know, for me now it's very hard to ask questions. I just always try to ask the questions that I had in the beginning, because those podcasts are mainly focused to be for beginners. Yeah. Of course, it will be amazing some calligraphers who know them to learn some stuff, but most of the questions that I ask, I try to ask them from the point view of a beginner, not because I need to know those things, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's so valuable to have someone like you who can stand in the position of someone who is studying and is asking all of these questions, and creating an amazing resource for those that are, that are starting new into the art. So I really appreciate the work that you're doing, Milan. I'm sure all of your community is really appreciative of your work. Milan, last words for those listening.
Okay. Yeah, because every time on my podcast I ask this, but I never thought like I'm going to have to. Okay, last word is, if you want to do calligraphy, or maybe if you just have started, my advice is follow your heart, don't give up, and be dedicated and don't give up. Like, this is probably the main thing. The most important thing is to be persistent, dedicated, and to not give up. Maybe I should have thought of something better to end this, but seriously, those are the three things in my mind that are the building base for you to be a successful calligrapher. Of course, I can say much more fancy stuff, but if you do those three things, I promise you, you will get there. And of course, keep writing.
Of course. And I see in what you have built with Calligraphy Masters, I see that you're doing what you're preaching. So definitely being dedicated and keep going is something that you do yourself. And this is why Calligraphy Masters has become what it has become.
Yeah, I think earlier you mentioned everybody has their own phase. Ooh. Is it correctly? What did I say?
You know, everybody is at different stages of the journey.
Yes, yes, but also some people, they progress faster. Other people don't progress that fast. Mm-hmm. Just be dedicated. Be with your own flow. I know everybody wants to become better right away, mm-hmm. but don't get encouraged because you're not advancing fast. If you are dedicated, if you don't give up, I promise you, sooner or later, you will get there.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Milan. Yeah. Lastly, where can people find you?
Me?
Find you and Calligraphy Masters and everything.
You can find me in Plovdiv. No, I'm kidding. I'm constantly traveling, so maybe it's hard to find me here. So people can find me at Instagram, at Milanist. Mm-hmm. It's with double... Okay, let's pronounce it because it's a bit weird. It's Milanist with double I, but it is Milenist. Milenist. Milanist.
Yes.
Yeah, this is on Instagram. Yeah. I mean, the other thing where you can find me is Calligraphy Masters Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. Also, I have a TikTok, but it's the same as my Instagram, I think. So.
Great. I will add all of this to our show notes so that listeners can find you. Thank you so much, Milen, for being today with us. And thank you, everybody, tuning in. See you on the next episode of Open Studio. Bye-bye. So this is it. I hope you loved this episode. You can find me, the host of the show, on social networks at Martina Flor on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you have a question or comments, go to martinaflor.com/podcast, where you can see previous episodes, find show notes, and send voice memos with your comments and questions. You can also watch these episodes on YouTube. Just go to martinaflor.com/YouTube to find them. You can, of course, listen to all our episodes on your favorite podcast platform. If you loved this episode, subscribe to this podcast. And if you leave us a review, it will help others find us. Thank you all for listening and see you in the next episode of Martina Flor's Open Studio. Bye-bye.